In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have all heard the expression, the wages of sin is death. But have we stopped to think about what this means? What are wages? Wages are what we receive from the work that we would do. They are payment. In this way, if sin is the work that we do, then the payment for that type of work is death. Every sin brings death. With the sin of murder, we can see this principle at work. If a life is taken, that is death. But what about lying? Lying brings about the death of the trust that other people have in you. So it too brings forth death. What about drinking, inebriation, drunkenness? That also brings death. Death of relationships, death of brain cells, liver cells. If we drink to excess, we deprive perhaps even the life of another person if we're behind the wheel. Adultery brings about the death of marriage. Even if the marriage survives, the marriage experiences a partial death because some of the trust between the spouses is lost. Why is this so? This is so because when we sin, we choose to kill what is good and true and beautiful. But another death happens, which is much worse. That is the death of the soul through separation from God. When we sin, we create a barrier between God and us. Without God, we do not have eternal life because God and sin cannot coexist. Death, indeed, is the wage. It is the result. It is the consequence. It is not punishment. It is not retribution. It is simply the result of our intentional actions. But it is not, as many would claim, the vengeance of an angry God. In today's gospel, our Lord addresses this very issue. When he encounters the blind man, his disciples ask, "Okay, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents?" You see, the mindset of the Jews was that sin brings about punishment and blindness, which they perceived as a punishment. Blindness for them was a punishment. And this was seen as the result of sin. Christ turns this notion around and says, no, this man's blindness was not the result of sin. It was so that you may witness what God can do. Many Christians today still believe firmly that suffering is God's punishment for sin. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 tells us that God disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone who is his child. Chasten means to correct by punishment or suffering. So yes, absolutely, God allows suffering to bring about correction. God uses suffering to correct a wrong that has been done. Let us think of a situation where perhaps two spouses have fought, they've separated. Each of the spouses is miserable. They're paying both a mortgage and rent for an apartment. They are both depressed. their children are confused, the suffering in that family is clearly there. This suffering is aimed at correcting what is wrong, the dissolution of that marriage. The suffering, if it bears fruit, will bring the two back together to be reconciled. But not all suffering in this world is from God. Let us think of another situation, the suffering of someone who has the flu, or perhaps cancer. These are not instances of suffering that is inflicted by God as a punishment. If medical sickness were indeed just punishments inflicted by God, why would Jesus have healed the sick? Would he not have left them with their just punishments? Brothers and sisters, the miracle of birth brings about new life. Ask any mother who has experienced a natural birth, and she will tell you it is painful. There is suffering. In the same way, when we sin and we bring about this consequence of death, there is pain and suffering involved in correcting that mistake, in bringing about new life where death had once been. That is because in order to correct the problem, we must breathe life into the very thing that we have killed. Even if it's just saying, "I'm sorry." How hard are those words to say? Because to say we are sorry means to admit, to confess that we were wrong. One of the great theological divides that exists among Christian denominations today is the divide between those who perceive Jesus' death as payment for our sins and those who perceive Jesus' death as atonement for our sins. On the one hand, many theologians reason that when we sin, we commit an offense against God who is infinite. Thus, our sin becomes infinite because it is committed against an infinite God. However, we as finite creatures can never repay God for the debt that we owe him for this infinite offense. Thus, they reason that it is Christ who pays the price with his divine life on the cross. But in order to believe this rationale, we must accept two principles. One, God is a vengeful God who demands that blood be shed in order to satisfy our debt, our offense. And two, God's forgiveness is not freely given, but there's a price that must be paid. These two principles, brothers and sisters, are not reflective of the God we serve. First, we know that God is perfect. Christ says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Deuteronomy 32, verse 4 says, "God is never unjust." Job 34 says that God does not act wickedly and that he does no wrong. The second letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 9, tells us that God does not desire that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God knows that we are weak, that we are prone to failure. And for these reasons, the Orthodox faith rejects the notion that God is a bloodthirsty God who demands blood sacrifice in payment for his forgiveness. Second, God's forgiveness is absolutely free without price. Romans 6:23 says, "The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ." Romans 3:22 through 24 tells us, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus." In the English language, there are two definitions for the word redemption. One is the act of making something better or more acceptable. Two, the act of exchanging something for money. Two definitions for redemption. Brothers and sisters, we are left with this important question. Was our Lord's death a price that was paid for our sins? Or was it the suffering needed to restore life to what was put to death by our sins? Let's look at a few more verses. 1 Corinthians 6:20, we have been bought with a price. 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins in his body. 1 Peter 1:18, we are ransomed by the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:23, we were bought with a price. 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins. And finally, in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When we look at these verses, we're tempted to say that the penalty, the punishment, the price of sin is death, and that Jesus paid the price for our sins with his death. But this would not be correct. God forgives our sins without price. His forgiveness is absolutely free. So what Christ then is Christ's death paying for us? Let's review. Death is the consequence of sin, both in regards to our life in the here and now, but also in regard to our eternal life, because it separates us from God. Suffering is necessary to correct the damage that has been done. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5 says, "By his stripes we are healed." This is repeated in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 24. "By his stripes we are healed." The price that Christ paid was not the price of appeasing a vengeful God, but the price of suffering to correct and set aright the destruction caused by our sins and to restore unto us eternal life. His death brought healing to our lives. He ransomed us from death. He is our propitiation. And that word means atoning sacrifice. Atonement is the act of reparation for an offense. In other words, by his death, he repaired the damage that was done by our sins. Jesus is the price that was paid to restore our relationship to the Father and thus to restore us to eternal life. Lord Jesus, as we prepare to celebrate Pascha, the feast of your resurrection and triumph over death, help us to enter more deeply into the mystery of true healing that comes from the wounds you suffered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.